Flexibility is great. That's why there's yoga. Flexibility for your insurance coverage is great too. That's why there's United Healthcare Insurance Plans. Underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, United Healthcare Insurance Plans offer flexible, budget-friendly coverage for medical, vision, dental, and more. One of these plans may be right for you if you're, say, between jobs, coming off your parents' plan, turning a side hustle into a full hustle, or even missed open enrollment. Want more flexibility? Find out more about United Healthcare Insurance Plans at uh1.com.
Ryan Reynolds here from Mint Mobile. With the price of just about everything going up during inflation, we thought we'd bring our prices down. So to help us, we brought in a reverse auctioneer, which is apparently a thing.
Mint Mobile Unlimited Premium Wireless. How to get 30, 30, how to get 30, how to get 20, 20, 20, how to get 20, 20, how to get 15, 15, 15, 15, just $15 a month? Sold!
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
Hello, welcome to Film Fandango, the film podcast. I'm David Reed. This is Marek Larwood.
Hello, hello there. Hello to each and every one of you.
Now, this is one of our short podcasts, as I'm away on holiday at the moment. Sorry about that. This is a pre-record. So, also apologies if you've written to us and we've not got back to you yet or addressed your issue. It's coming, we promise. Now,
I only go on holidays, short breaks.
That's right.
Because I am committed to this podcast.
Whereas I'm a binge holidayer. I've not been in about 8 years, so now I'm going to New York for 3 weeks.
And you had to go and do it right now.
Right now, yeah. I'm sorry I had to take my holiday on one of the weeks we do this. Okay, so, quick thing. What films have we watched recently?
Loads. Let's talk about one you've watched.
All right. I saw a film called Unknown. Have you heard of this?
No.
It's low budget film with some faces you'd recognise. It stars Jim Caviezel, who was Jesus in The Passion of the Christ. He also played the villain in Deja Vu, the last Tony Scott film, I believe.
He only plays villains, this guy, doesn't he? Really?
What, Christ? What are you saying?
Oh, no. I've just exposed myself.
As a Satanist.
Yeah, well, I don't know anymore. I don't know what I am anymore. What about you, buddy?
Buddy looks very comfortable and loose next to you there.
What happens in Unknown?
It also has Greg Kinnear, who we all love. It also has Joey Pantoliano from many, many things. The Sopranos and The Matrix, etc., etc. Now, it's exciting from a writer's point of view. This movie is a locked room movie.
Like Saw,
the first one, or like The Exam, or any of those, where basically it's one room, the concept drives the whole thing. It's this very story, character-led piece. But the setup is five men wake up in a warehouse, and none of them remember who they are or why they're there.
They wake up at the same time? Is like an alarm clock thing?
Slowly over time. Jim Caviezel's the first to wake up. But they slowly wake up. But one of them has been shot and is also handcuffed to a railing and is slowly bleeding out. And another one is tied to a chair. And none of them know who they are. They try to get out the warehouse and find it's, for a warehouse, incredibly tight security. And there's a keypad door that none of them, because their memories are gone, they don't know the way out.
They don't know anything at all, but anything names at all. Or anything like that.
No. But they slowly pieced it all together, and it unfolds from there. So
how do they piece it together if they don't know anything?
There's a phone call. There are press cuttings in an office room off the place. There is a burst gas canister that will probably explain how they lost their memories.
Do they get their memories back?
Slowly, yes. But that's part of the ticking time bomb of Jeopardy. Because the great thing about this movie, and not to spoil it, is that they discover that some of them are good guys and some are bad guys. And there's a ticking clock of, and the bad guys are coming back. So the other bad guys are coming back. So when they get here, the good guys, whoever they are amongst us, are going to get killed. So we're all going to band together to get out of here or stop the bad guys, because who knows which one of us it is. It's a lovely idea. Lovely idea.
I might be the bad guy in this room. I can't remember.
Are you sure it's not Buddy?
It's either me or Buddy.
Really fun film. Really fun film, except at the end, where it feels like the grubby finger of studio intervention has changed what the plot was at the end.
Is it? Have you read up and found out if it's been...
No, it just had that feeling of the rest of the script was really tight and leading to a point, and then it felt like they just bolted an extra twist on at the end that is totally unnecessary. And it ends really disappointingly. But if you stop it 3 minutes before the end, it's a really fun little rompy film.
It's like you go for a really nice haircut, and the last moment the hairdresser shaves a lightning bolt into the side of it.
Yeah. Or just takes a piss down your back.
Yeah. Or smashes you, or punches you in the face and knocks all your teeth out.
Takes out a mirror and just clonks you over the head with it.
Or puts a vacuum cleaner and sucks one of your eyeballs out.
Yeah, or just shoots himself. I mean, it takes all of the joy out of a new haircut.
Yeah.
Right at the end.
They shoot themselves and they've got to shave your head for evidence. So it's totally pointless.
There's loads of DNA all over your hair.
And there's nowhere else. It's gone nowhere else. It's just gone on your hair. And that is the reason, listeners, why I have no hair. Is I get...
You're just avoiding that whole...
Repeatedly being in hairdressing salons, where at the end of it, the hairdressers shot themselves.
What do you talk about before?
I don't know. It starts off with how was your holiday, and it just goes downhill from there.
Wow.
I remembered a film that I stopped watching because I couldn't be bothered to watch the end of it.
What was it?
Well, I'm having a bad love film run at the moment.
Oh dear. It happens.
I think I'm going to give up on love film.
I think lots of people are feeling that.
Yeah, because I've just... It's selecting the rubbish... So you know sometimes you get a whole lot of good ones.
You shouldn't put rubbish films on your list.
But you know you're just filling up your list and go, oh, I'll give that a try.
Yeah.
And a lot of the I'll give that a try ones come at the same time. You think, oh... This
is... My problem with love film is it takes too much commitment. That I used to put any film where I was like, oh, I'd love to watch that and add it to my list, like you think it would work. But then you sort of forget about the list... And then you watch these films by other means, because you don't watch things exclusively through Love Film. Then you forget they're on there, and then they come through and they've just wasted at one of the discs. You've got to put it immediately back in the post office. It takes too much management in order to do it.
It's all streaming now, isn't it? When Love Film was a big thing.
Yeah.
Love Film killed Blockbuster, and now Netflix is going to kill Love Film.
It was a stopgap technology, wasn't it?
Now what's going to kill Netflix?
The alien invasion.
Probably, yes.
Films will become an irrelevance in the new world order.
Well, talking about love film, as it started dying, I got Byzantium on love film, the British vampire one.
Oh, with Gemma Arterton. We were offered three screenings to that, and we didn't go to any of them.
It's just a bit...
I think, the reason I wasn't interested... was, one, it's a British vampire film starring Gemma Arterton. I mean, that's sort of enough.
She doesn't sell it as a vampire to me.
But two was, I think the modern vampire, they're so behind the curve on that one. I mean, that's been boring for 10, 15 years. So to decide to make one seems so utterly, not only a cynical cash-in, but a really behind-the-curve cynical cash-in as well. It seemed like nobody involved knew what they were doing. Maybe I was being overly harsh.
That is pretty mystical, seeing as you haven't seen it. Oh, yeah, Neil Jordan directed it.
That's pretty up myself.
It just didn't work. It was just a bit dull. I never really got going.
I like Gemma Arterton. She has her critics. I think she's all right. I think she, you know...
I've just avoided a lot of her films.
I don't think she makes the best choices, necessarily.
Maybe it's her agent making the choices.
Yeah, maybe.
She's a pretty girl, isn't she?
I thought she's very nice.
What, in real life?
Yeah.
Do you know her?
No, but Humphrey Carr, who's been our guest quite a few times and is one of my comedy partners, he was in a tiny role, which he talked about, actually, on this podcast, in St. Trinian's 2, The Legend of Fritton's Gold.
Wow.
Which Gemma Arterton wasn't in a whole lot. She sort of cameoed because she was the lead in the first one. But no, he got to meet her. He said she was absolutely lovely. You know, made him feel welcome on set. Had no need to.
A lot of people who are really good at that.
Well, I think that's sort of the job of the leading man or woman on a film, is to be morale officer as well. You have to be a leader, not just the diva who wants everything done for them. Those are the two kinds. Tom Hanks apparently is fantastic at that.
What, being a diva?
No. Fantastic at just like making everyone feel, he knows everybody's name, you know, he remembers everything about people, and he just makes it feel like a family that they want to all work towards this film.
Wow.
Chow Yun-fat as well, weirdly. Apparently, was on the Pirates of the Caribbean 3, whichever one he's in his bits, he was, you know, picking up sandbags and moving them and going, where do you want this? And just pitching in with the crew.
Wow. Some people are actually nice people.
Yeah, and then you hear terror horror stories about
them. I wonder what their motivation is.
What, for being nice? Oh, Marek, you've been in this world too long. You need to die and start over.
I think I might need to. Because I don't trust... As soon as someone is nice, I always think, what do you want? I think I've explained this before.
That's a
when
shame.
You get... I mean, we both do comedy and acting, and occasionally get... Well, more sporadically get bit parts in things. I'm basically doing Boris Johnson podcasts, and very rarely...
Can you use Buddy on one? Because he's got quite a good Boris haircut, I think.
If Boris gets a dog, I'll definitely get Buddy in.
Yeah.
But the runners, okay, who are the people who sort of the young people they employ in their 20s, always very nice. They're so over nice to you because that's their job to be nice, isn't it?
Well, also, I mean, that's a niceness. Often they hire nice people because the job taking so much flack, they can't have anybody with a mean streak. But also, they are the low on the bottom of the ladder, so if word gets out that they've pissed off one of the actors, they'll be gone, they'll be fired.
Yeah.
So they need to make everyone feel happy.
I mean, the best runner we ever had, and I did a show called We Are Clang, there was a guy called Pete, and he knew if you ever thought, oh, I fancy a cup of tea, before you even got to the sentence,
it would be in your mouth.
He would be spitting it into my mouth, pulling my ears apart so my mouth open, just like, just strangling my throat, so it's a strangle, but also at the same time...
Helping you swallow.
Yeah.
I mean, you can't buy service like that, can you?
Incredible. It was... So, Pete, I think he must be doing quite well now.
I mean, he must be.
His name was Pete Griffiths, and one day he's going to be a producer, or a first. So, for people who don't know, working films, it's like the first, second, and the third. And the third assistant director just does a lot of... is up from the runner, just does a lot of the crappy jobs, sort of... ordering people around. The second one who does all the timings.
Yeah.
So they check when you're coming in. And
hugely important.
And
job.
They always get you in about 2 hours early for every job, just in case your car's late.
Yeah.
And the first is the person who's on set, who's making sure the filming runs to schedule. So basically, the arsehole.
Yes. And then there's the director.
Yeah. The first, taking away... the whole arsehole role from the producer and the director. So they're to be the person that
hate. The whip cracker, aren't they?
The whip, the government whip of a
filming. Party, political party. Yeah, absolutely.
I would hate to be a first.
I've had some good first. You really appreciate one who doesn't get antsy, is just efficient. Like, when you get those, like, they're properly good.
Yeah,
like they can really sour the mood or make it really fun to do.
And the oddest thing about being on a set, on a TV or film set, is there is all, no matter what the weather, it could be snowing, could be freezing, there's always one of the sparks, like the electrician, the lighting crew, in shorts.
Yeah,
no matter every single thing I filmed, which is
and he's probably called Neil.
Yeah, but they're always. They're always in shorts. It's up in freezing snow, and they're still in shorts. Yeah.
And they're always called Neil. But weirdly, there's a huge proportion of electricians called Neil.
And one of the makeup ladies is always married to one of the crew, or in a relationship with them, because they don't meet. No one meets anyone else, because you're there from 6 till about 8, and you're driving in and driving back again. So that is your whole life. Anyway, that's probably a really boring insight.
Well, I mean, you know, this isn't a proper episode. We could get out all of this stuff.
So that is the one of the filler episodes.
It is.
We're back talking about the films you see in the play next week.
Yes, and I can talk about my experiences in America, possibly, if I have any film-related ones.
You can go to the cinema out there?
Well, maybe. I've never been to an American cinema, so I'd quite like to. Maybe go to an independent one rather than a multiplex, see what it's like. I mean, it's the home of cinema. Absolutely, I must do. And who knows, maybe I'll get to meet some celebrities along the way as well.
Oh, yes, please.
Oh, I'd love to.
If you, I've got a couple of things here, quickly. Andy McAfee's written in. He says, Marek, you've mentioned Troll 2 a couple of times.
I think I've mentioned it a couple of times.
Well, and so's David. We both mentioned, haven't we?
I've mentioned it in regards to Harry Potter.
Okay. Is that Troll 2?
Yeah.
Okay. Oh, yeah. In case you're unaware, which I'm sure you're not, there's a documentary about the film made by one of the kids in the film called Best Worst Movie.
Oh, I am not aware of this.
It is amazing.
Have you seen it?
Yeah, it explains... Watch Best Worst Movie before you watch Troll 2. It explains what all the things... The huge mistakes which led to...
I love
the funniest,
those.
Worst films of
like
all time.
Lost in La Mancha is fascinating, just in terms of how... If a director doesn't have the support of a great producer, they are screwed. There is nothing they can do. They will be producing crap.
Mm.
Like, fascinating. Sort of heartbreaking as well, though, isn't it?
Life's pretty heartbreaking.
Oh, God. Seriously, I think suicide might be a good option for you.
Okay, but before I do that, I should read out a letter, right?
Yeah, go on then.
This letter is from Anne Coletta.
Maybe you should take up hairdressing.
I'd be really good at hairdressing, I think. Oh, wait there, I'm trying to find this letter. Here we go. Dear MDB, Marek, David, Buddy.
Oh.
You need a guest whose name starts with I to be IMDB. That's a very good point. I keep promising myself not to pester you, but I can't help it. I've got lots of questions, and you don't need to read this email or say my name. You can just use the questions if you run out of ideas for the podcast.
Thanks.
Very apt now. Are there any books that you wish should be made into films?
Oh, interesting. Now, I know there is a movie of it, starring Malcolm McDowell, I believe, but the Flashman novels I'd love to see done properly. It's just period stuff, basically, because I love when you actually get to see it all on screen. The Glass Books of the Dream Eaters would be good.
Okay. But what books you just really wish had not been made into films?
Not being made into films.
My one, I say not being made into films.
Captain Corelli's Mandolin.
Okay.
I mean, I'm not a huge fan of the book. I enjoyed it. But my God, that film is duff. Terrible, just trying to cash in on the success of the book at the time. You know.
Stephen King's The Stand is one of my favourite books. They made it sort of two sort of long filmish things that didn't really work. My brother's book, called Freaks, by Kieran Larwood, would be better than Harry Potter if it got made into a blooming film, so go and buy that.
Which one is he in the photo of all of your family with your face from a couple of weeks ago?
He's the oldest one. He's my older brother.
Okay.
Okay, and I hope that answers your question. And here's a bit more. David, you said you watched The Shining at 5.
Yeah.
I watched The Birds at 5 and Marathon Man shortly thereafter. Nice double bill there.
5-year-old's double bill. Incredible attention span for a 5-year-old.
These definitely made an impression. I remember watching 3 Days of the Condor at that age. I mean, very surprised people could be killed in such large numbers in such mundane environments. What other films do you two watch at a very young age that left an indelible impression on you or introduced you to completely new ideas or concepts?
Oh, God, I mean, that's casting my mind back. Have you got any that you can think of?
I remember watching Basic Instinct with my mum, and not realise when I was about 14, and we didn't realise what it was, and it was quite graphic.
And that was the start of a long love affair.
Yeah, and that led to my little brother. No, I did not. I want to go on record saying I did not watch Basic Instinct and have sex with my own mother. Okay.
Okay.
Or
okay.
Any fit. I didn't do that at
that
all.
That is on the record.
For those who doubted that.
I'm trying to think of films I saw when I was very young that. You know, I mean, all of the movies I absorbed as a kid obviously had a huge effect on me, but I don't think that's quite what the question is. It's those really disturbing ones. The Shining dominates my psyche so much, I'm not sure I can think of another one.
Nightmare on Elm Street when I was too young.
Yes, me too. It's properly disturbing, especially when it sort of starts to break the rules of narrative right at the end, where you're just like, I don't know what's happening anymore, and yeah. that makes me feel even less safe.
Well, I was downstairs, my brother was in his room as a teenager, and I was just in my early teens, I think it was, and my brother said, go and watch this, knowing my parents were out, and I had to watch it, and I had to wait until they came back, and even then I wasn't safe.
The idea that you don't want to fall asleep is such a beautifully simple idea. Mm-hmm. It's brilliant. Crazy films. I've not seen the sequels, actually.
Well, great. Thank you very much for those questions. That's great. Thank you. There's a couple more we could ask. We could do another time. But that's it, right?
All right. Well, yes, we'll be back next week with a proper episode. Please do keep writing in. DearFilmFandango@gmail.com, and if you'd like to donate money to help us with the running costs of this, then you can go to filmfandango.co.uk and donate from there.
It costs £8 million an episode.
£8 million a week, and we are running out of inheritance. We'll be back next week. Keep watching the films.
Keep watching the films. Bye.
Bye-bye.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news! Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Hey, it's Paige DeSorbo from Giggly Squad. High quality fashion without the price tag. Say hello to Quince. I'm snagging high-end essentials like cozy cashmere sweaters, sleek leather jackets, fine jewelry, and so much more. With Quince being 50 to 80% less than similar brands. And they partner with factories that prioritize safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. I love that. Luxury quality within reach. Go to quince.com/style to get free shipping and 365-day returns on your next order. quince.com/style.
Hey everyone, Craig Robinson here. I want you to check out the Ways to Win podcast, brought to you by Ford and the new 2024 Ford F-150 truck. On Ways to Win, Coach Cal and I will discuss leadership lessons we've learned. We know all about the days spent perfecting your craft outside of the limelight and have knowledge to share about how strength, inspiration, encouragement, and adaptability are the key ingredients to drive toward your dreams. And those same ingredients can be found in the new 2024 Ford F-150 truck. So check out my podcast, Ways to Win, and also check out the new 2024 Ford F-150 truck. Learn more at Ford.com. Built Ford tough, built Ford proud.